this is Bob and I want to play. Bob, just don't go with that. I was a good episode. Excuse me, Spike Fit Colin. I'm outside right now. I don't know if you can hear the trees blowing about, and I drank my hot drink and ate my flatbread while I listened to your podcast, and it's well done, and I look forward to more. It's interesting to hear your point of view, and I really think it's a good topic that you hit on, and it's going to be interesting to hear people call in, and I hope you put more calls out to people to come on over and talk about it, because it's a good topic. You picked a good one. All right, that's it. Bye.
Hello, hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit, episode 162.
As far as what makes a good player, I think people that, you know, it seems basic, but people that can show up consistently, that let you know if they're not going to make it. Players that stay engaged, you know, don't zone out and clock out. Players that know their character, know the capabilities, so they can actually play their character. Players that don't try to boss other players around and kind of dominate the table and tell people what to do. Players that are unnecessarily disruptive or profane or, you know, fight against the current, you know, in a lot of ways. Sometimes you'll have a player, an outlier, that seems to just be there to wreck the game. A lot of this I don't experience anymore, but when you're first putting together a game group, especially online, some of this stuff can come up. Anyway, that's what comes to mind.
Top of the show, we heard from Jeremy, aka Froth, from the Thought Eater blog and podcast. I think he raised some great points there. Pretty much covered most of the stuff that I'm liable to talk about in this, like, mini series, if you like, talking about player qualities. Obviously, he's speaking from experience, but sounds like, thankfully, he's got over the worst of it with his group, settled into some good sessions and some good, steady player behaviour, I guess. But myself, this weekend, I had to cancel my games, and I've recorded a segment earlier explaining what went on. Oh my goodness, didn't realise how much I was relying on my broadband internet connection. Been without it for a couple of days, all over the weekend. Totally messed up my online gaming. But the engineer was here today, got a new broadband hub thingamajig, modem, whatnot, and I'm back up and running. So that is very cool. Unfortunately, that meant I was a bit of a bad player. Oh, had to cancel my games. But what can you do? Technology failed me. I think it might have got smashed during the sleepover that was happening here with my little girl. She had her friends over and there were some hijinks. And then suspiciously, stuff wasn't working in the morning. Now, I'm very pleased to hear from this man. He's not a stranger to us. Normally, though, we hear him singing on Spike Pit with the crazy Spike Pit theme. It's none other than Logan Swordbreaker Howard telling us about his thoughts on player qualities.
Hey, Colin, I'm really enjoying your How to Be a Better Player episodes. Something that I look for is the ability for players to recognize what the other players at the table are looking for in the game and making an effort to supply that as well. I think it's great when a DM or GM is paying close attention to what the players want from the game, but the game is so much better when the players themselves are contributing to that, each kind of seeking out the experience that everyone else at the table is hoping for and trying to play into that in some way. I'm really looking forward to your character art. I'll be looking at Patreon for it. Have a good one.
Player character artwork. I want to see that. You draw that, I want to see that. That's what Tim wants me to do for his games. He wants me to do like a kind of like a cartoony stick figure thing, and we're going to get together and put together a little adventure. And it's so much fun. There's so much parts to gaming. The drawing, the writing, the editing, the adventures, the monsters and the giants. It's a lot of fun. All right, now I'm finally going. I pulled the Jackson. I actually think this is three calls to you. All right, I got to go. I got stuff to do, like fold laundry. Bye.
And she's back. The unmistakable Happy Whisk with the second call in for this show. Thanks for calling in, Ivy. Bringing a smile to our faces as ever. If you haven't heard, Happy Whisk, at the time of this recording, is a few days finished on her 44 podcast marathon. I don't know how she did it, but man, the time flew by. I can't believe that was 44 days and 44 episodes. That just flew by. And Ivy's talking about player character or character artwork, bit like Logan was in a previous message. And it seems this is something I'm going to have to explore further. I'm quite keen to do it. I've done a few portraits of characters in the past, but this would be a good way for me to try out some of the digital methods on my new tablet. So, food for thought for me there. Now we've got a call in from Evil Jeff, the voice behind Minions and Musings. Interesting to note that he's also picking up on Logan Howard's point about player empathy. This to me is a crucial player trait, and I'm glad these guys have picked up on it and are lending their thoughts and feelings into the discussion.
Hey Colin, it's Evil Jeff. So, one other thing that came up, I've been listening to your podcast there, Being a Better Player, and a lot of the advice so far is from player to GM, but I also want to point out player to player. RFED did touch on it a little bit, but to be a better player, you don't need to be telling other people how to run their character. You also need to let someone else run their character. And if you've got an idea, make it a suggestion, not a, oh, do this. I think that's the most aggravating thing out there. Let somebody else do it. You know, some small suggestions here and there. That, just be a better player to your fellow teammates. I got some other ones, but I'll have to think about them for a bit. Later.
Well, so I hope we hear from you, Jeff. If them thoughts do come to you, call in for sure, man. And the alpha player, the guy who wants to tell everybody what they should do, how to be optimal, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I don't think they always see that they're doing it. That's a bit of a problem, and it is annoying as hell. If you've chosen something to do with your character, maybe the choice of weapons and stuff, and you've chosen it for flavour, but you've got this guy who enjoys to min-max and optimise everything. He's pointing out that you've got the wrong fit out for your type of character. I don't want to hear that. I'm not interested. That is annoying. And at the same time, I don't want to be forced into a situation where I've got to have that discussion with someone, because I don't want to ruin their game either. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. But at the end of the day, I think it's a conversation that has to be had. You've got to try and just be polite and, I suppose, just explain that why you're doing something and just try and politely tell someone just to back off and let you play your character the way you want to play them. Oh, alpha gamers, man, they plague board gaming as well. So I got this message off of Spencer, a.k.a. Free For All of the Keep Off the Borderlands podcast. Made me feel a little bit bad, actually, when he said about getting his finger out. I'd jested with him that it was amusing because he did a podcast about RPGs but didn't actually get to play. I felt a little bit bad about that, but I didn't mean to have a pop at him. Just thought I didn't want to see him miss out if he could get in on some online gaming or something like that. And if you're listening, Spencer, if you need any assistance with information or you want to know what games are going down, if I can help out in that regard, let me know. I actually dropped a line to Spencer suggesting that he might want to jump in a Freebooters game on a Sunday. It's a UK friendly time. Or alternatively, jump in to Kalmata with Jason. He's quite often running on a Sunday morning. For any guys in the UK, it's a UK friendly time. And you're always going to have fun on Kalmata. Now, Spencer makes an interesting point in his message about information to players, where it's found, and contrasts modern games with the more traditional older style of play, and in particular the older style of rule books and character sheets, stuff like that. So let's hear what Spencer's got to say.
Hi Colin, yeah, I hear you. I need to pull my finger out, yeah, great episode. And I was reading something in a similar vein on Reddit a couple of weeks ago. Some people discussing how OSR core rule books have a lot of support for the GM, but not a lot of player advice. And obviously they're talking about coming from more modern systems to the OSR, and the problems there of, you know, people being more immersed in the character sheets than immersed in the game, and kind of not missing that support of being told what they can and can't do. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting and a great topic.
Thanks for that, Spencer. Glad you enjoyed the episode. And yeah, in some ways, I think the newer games, my 5e game, there was a bit more gazing at character sheets for kind of the answers and some guidance on what they should do, what players should be doing. It's not always super helpful, that. There is a lot of player information for sure in 5e. There's a whole handbook. And I reckon in them games, players probably do sit and read quite a lot of those rules. I'm pretty sure the likes of the crunchier systems like Pathfinder, I think the players probably sit down and probably get quite a bit out of those player handbooks in terms of ideas. Maybe there's advice. I'm not too sure because I haven't read a Pathfinder rulebook, and it's a long time since I read anything approaching a crunchy system, really, unless you're going to count 5e, which I don't really regard as crunchy. There's a lot of options in there, and I guess if you want to be a player choosing from the full range, you're going to need to read through them. If you've been playing for a while, you tend to fall back to your old favourites. Like when I'm trying a new system, I like to play a fighter and use that as a kind of a baseline. And then if I play another character in that system, then I sort of tend to branch out from there. Last option for me is picking up a spellcaster, because I am notoriously bad at dealing with long lists of spells. One of the things I quite like about the old BX was, I think in the whole thing there's probably only 72 spells. I think there's about 12 per level. I might be speaking out of place, but I think that's about right. And I can just about deal with that, especially when at low levels you're kind of looking to pick up sleep or charm or magic missile. And a lot of the other stuff just doesn't seem to get chosen. I've often thought that one way you could streamline the magic is just cut out some of those spells that never get chosen. I think there's been a little bit of talk about rituals and things like that, taking rituals out of 5e, using them in more your trad games. And I think it was this talk of clerics and stuff that Tim Shorts and some of the other guys have been talking about. Tenkar was talking about it. It all springs from this game that Tim's been running and some of the modifications he's been making to clerics. I can really see how rituals would probably be a good fit for some of those BX utility spells. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, the player guidance. I wonder, thinking back, how often did anybody other than the GM really get into reading rule books back in the day? Difficult for me to say because I've always run games. And my group always ran games as well. And I think probably a lot of the GM advice is about making adventures, making worlds and stuff, populating dungeons. I don't know. If I was going to write a document, I don't know what I would say to players. It's a tricky one. I think it's quite a personal thing. Maybe just a discussion like this that we're having, maybe that's more helpful than having information for players in a rule book. Maybe that's why we don't see it that often. But yeah, it's an interesting point, Spencer. And yeah, I'd perhaps be keen to hear more of your thoughts on that subject, maybe with some additional examples of rule systems and the specifics, perhaps. Anyway, cheers for calling in, mate. Now, when I was recording my chat about what's wrong with 5e Dungeons and Dragons, I think it was 9 or 10 episodes around that kind of premise. And messages-wise, things got a little bit crazy. I had quite a few kind of unfinished episodes in the works, and it would appear a couple of messages slipped through the net. And I just want to play this one from James Richards. It's not too relevant to the current conversation we're having, but I didn't want him to sort of feel like he's been ignored, so I'm adding this message onto the end of this episode. So thanks for calling in, James. I did listen at the time, meant to put it in, but it just all got a little bit crazy there for a while with the wheels falling off.
Hey, Colin, this is James Richards. I just listened to your latest episode with Frank. Been enjoying the back and forth. I think he's presented, a good counterpoint to criticism, which I agree with and don't have much to add other than, there's just too much power, magic, subclasses. Everybody does magic now, or can do magic. But his point that the core, the base of the game is solid, I believe that as well. I was wondering, however, I just downloaded this last night. I believe it's called Low Fantasy Gaming. It's a free PDF. You can probably Google it. It seems to be 5e derivative, but kind of starts to strip away the excess. Anyhow, hope all's well. See ya.
Yes, James, I'm familiar with Low Fantasy Gaming, and thanks for your calling. I also picked up the setting book that was put out by the same designer. I really liked some of the maps and some of the flavour that came with that setting. I believe it was called Midlands, but I need to get back to it. And thanks for the reminder. Thanks also to everybody who called in. Another episode by committee. Thanks for your contributions, taking the time to call in. I know it's not always easy, especially when Anchor is getting up to its tricks. Actually heard Liren talking about a tip that she had discovered. The best way for kind of putting a message in is, rather than using the reply function, is to go to an episode of the person you want to reply to and clicking on the message button there. That has been working out well for me. So thanks for that, Liren. Thanks for spotting that one. I was starting to tear my hair out replying inside the message function. Also then, thanks to my patrons over at Spike Pit Patreon, the Pit Crew as I like to call them. Thanks for your generosity. And as I say, keeping Spike Pit going and growing. And then last but not least, just want to say thanks to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.